To both say good morning, let's begin. So we left off Taf of Samech Tes Amud Aleph. Today's Daf is Samech Tes. I mean, you know, yesterday we went from the bottom of Samech Beis Amud Beis to Samech Tes Amud Aleph. We spanned three Dapim in one. I mean, I don't want to, whatever. You don't want to brag, but all right, good. It's a dafyomi accomplishment, mamish. All right, so says the Gemara Tav of Samech Tes. So we have a little bit of a harder sugya. Not hard, just a lot of pieces. No, we're not going to do it today. That is for sure. We'll get through this stuff today. We're not spanning anything else. Ashkichon Kohenes, Levi of Yisrael. So we'll say, remember again, the discussion we ended off with yesterday was the discussion that Bia with Apostle goes ahead and is posel and invalidates the Kohenes, the daughter of the Bas Kohen, from going ahead and going back and eating Truma and marrying a Kohen. Levi of Yisraelis Minolon, where do we know that that is true also? By a Levi in Yisraelis. The Gemara says, Kid Amrabi Abba Amarav, Bas Ubas. Hachanami Bas Ubas. What's we actually mentioned this yesterday? Because you have the drasha of Ubas. The extra vav comes to include additional women, in this case, the Kohenes and the Leviah. The Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion is this reflect? Rabbi Akiva, this is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, because what did Rabbi Akiva say? The Darish Vavi. Because Rabbi Akiva, remember, is the one who darshins extra vavs. The Gemara says, Afilu Teim Rabbanon. The truth is, you could even say that this reflects the view of the Rabbanon. Kula ubas kra yisiru. This is just from yesterday. Because remember, that entire phrase of ubas is ubas kohen ultimately is an extra phrase. And therefore, also remember, the Rabbanon don't darshin vavin. This is just a fundamental dispute in terms of the process of drushas. So Rabbi Akiva will say you could darshin extra vavin, create from that a drasha. The Rabbanon will say you don't darshin extra vavin, which the Gemara says, even according to the Rabbanon, it's still okay, because the entire phrase itself is extraneous, and you could darshin the phrase. Say that the only person who goes ahead and will passel these women is someone who, technically speaking, can make her a widow or a divorcee. In other words, perhaps the only time that lemaisa someone makes a woman passel is if there is the capability and possibility of marriage, to which the Gemara says, maybe the only time that someone who can make her an amana and gerushin is when there is no offspring, that's when she's permitted to eat. However, again, if they do leave behind offspring, she would not be permitted to eat. So the Gemara says, mi she'in lo amanos u gerushin ba, afal gav di isle zara, na mitecho. But if that's the case, someone who does not have the ability to make her an amana or gerushin, which Rabbi says, in other words, is another way to say, someone who does not have the ability to effect marriage with her, even if there is children, she still should be able to. Because remember, that was the drasha from yesterday, that perhaps it's only someone who could affect some level of marriage with these women that ultimately go ahead and make them into apostle. Im kein ribuye Leviya v'Yisraelis lamali. If that's the case, then why do I need the extra ribuy for Leviya and Yisraelis? Well, Rabbi Akiva da Amar ein kiddushin tovsim mechayve lavin. And according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that kiddushin is not tovsim mechayve lavin. But remember, we had this much earlier in our Masechta. Fundamental dispute between Rabbi Akiva and pretty much everyone else in terms of our kiddushin tovsim mechayve lavin. Let's say about a relationship that is prohibited by a love, Kohen marrying a grusha. I'm marrying grusha, so that's a love. So if Kohen does marry a grusha, does such a marriage, is such a marriage take effect or not? So everyone else holds, the answer is yes, it's also, but it takes effect. Rabbi Akiva holds, no. So according to Rabbi Akiva holds that marriage doesn't take effect in Chayvei Lavin, my kisiyeli ish zar. But remember, the lashon of Haviyah, the lashon of kisiyya, sounds like a lashon of kiddushin. But according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that lamaisa, they can't have kiddushin with an ish zar. So what is that referring to? Kiti boil, umay iria kisiyeli ish zar, kiti boil. Amana ugrusha lamali. So if that's the case, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, then ultimately, again, really it's referring to what? It's referring to a situation where relations occur. And then why do I need the case of amana and grusha? To which the Gemara says, amana lahachmir aleha, Grusha lahakila leha. Because the Gemara is teaching us is amana lahakmir leha literally means that it will be machmir on the amana, that she cannot go ahead and resume eating truma, or for that matter, marrying a kohen, when she has children from the previous marriage, and grusha ultimately again to be makil on her, even when she does not have children, that she may be permitted to go back and consume truma. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Amana ugrusha laashmo inon ovid kochavim ve'eved lamali. So both say, remember again, the shaila is if either of these women were to go ahead and have relations with the ovid kochavim. So what's the status? Amana lahachmir kilomar lav limi ute mishi yeshlo amanas vegerishin elalugufei itzdarech amana kedi lahachmir ala diilok siv hava amina amanas yisrael vihi bas kohen techol va'af agav diis lezera. So what's that? Because I would have thought that an amanas yisrael that is a bas kohen should be able to go ahead and continue to eat truma once her husband dies, even though she has children. Kamash molon what? Kamash molon, that is not the case. If a bas kohen was married to a yisrael and the yisrael dies and leaves her with a child, the existence of that child precludes her from being truma. We'll say the common theme you're going to see coming out over and over and over is that the existence of the child very much determines her truma status. So if a bas kohen married a yisrael and had a child with a yisrael, so ultimately again the existence of that child tethers her to her yisrael marriage, and therefore what? She may not go back to her father's home and eat truma. Conversely, if a bas yisrael marries a kohen and has a child with that kohen, then the kohen dies, then the halacha is what? The existence of that Kohanic child tethers her to the kahuna, and she is permitted to continue to eat truma even though her husband is now dead. So the Gemara goes weiter. Utsricha, we need both cases. Why? Di'i ashma inan amana. If what it just taught me, the case of amana, amana hu dechiles le zara achla. It is only in the case of amana where she doesn't have children that she can continue to eat. Remember also, what's the case of amana? Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, now she's widowed. So I would have said, in a case where she doesn't have children, that's where she can go back to her father's home and go and eat truma. Why? Mishum dechazi lekuna. Because they both say, remember, an amana is still fit to marry into the kuna. Granted, she's not fit to what? She's not fit to go ahead and marry a Kohen Gadol, but she is fit to marry into the kuna. On the other hand, aval grusha delo chazi lekuhuna. It's fine. I just wanted to. I realize I didn't record it, but it's okay. Aval grusha delo chazi lekuhuna. Ema af agav deles lezara lo achla. But on the other hand, so I would have said it's only in the case of amana where she doesn't have children that she could go back to her father's home and eat truma. Why? Because technically speaking, she is still fit for the kahuna. On the other hand, grusha, who is not fit for the kahuna, I would say maybe even if she doesn't have children, she still can't go back to her father's home and eat truma. Af agav deles lezara lo achla. And therefore, again, I need both cases to teach me what they're both saying. That even in the case of grusha, if she is divorced, obviously if she's grusha, she's divorced, with no children, then lemaisa what? She's permitted to go ahead and continue to eat truma in her father's home. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. Had you not stated both cases, I would have thought that the prerequisite for the ability to go back to the father's home to eat truma is what? Her ability to marry into the kahuna. Kamash malan, that is not the case. Kamash malan, even if she can't marry into the kahuna, she can still go out to her father's home and eat truma. Viashu in a grusha, and if we were to just tell me the case of grusha who, dechi isle zara lo achla. I would have thought it's in the case of grusha, where if she does have children, she can't eat. Remember, again, this is the case of Bas Kohen, who married Yisrael. Then he divorced her. Let's say, again, she has children. The halacha is that she can't eat. Why? Mishum d'lo chazi l'kuhuna. Because she is not fit to marry into the kuhuna. Aval almana d'chazi l'kuhuna. But the almana who can marry into the kuhuna, ema afal gav d'is lazera nami techol. I would have thought that even though she has children, remember, in this case, this is the Bas Kohen Amana who was married to the Yisrael. I would have thought that because she is technically speaking still fit to marry into the kahuna, therefore what? She should be able to go back to her father's home and eat truma, therefore tzricha. Therefore I will say, halacha lemaisa, we require both cases. So halacha lemaisa, again, in both of these situations, again, the ability to go ahead and consume truma really depends on the children, right? So if it's a bas, so again, if the existence of a Yisrael child will preclude her from going back to her father's home and eating truma, the existence of a Kohanic child would allow her to go back to her father's home and continue to eat truma. The ema nivala lipasala Af machzir grush. Excuse me. B'nei ma nivla l'pasala. So maybe I would say that in the case of the other thing we've established is what that if a woman has relations with a man who is pasal to her, that prevents her from going ahead and going back to her father's home and continuing to eat truma. Perhaps that comes to include what? Perhaps that comes af machzir grushaso. Perhaps that comes to include a case of what? Where a man remarries his divorcee who subsequently married another man, meaning Reuven divorces Rachel. Rachel goes and marries another guy. We'll call him other guy. Then other guy divorces Rachel. And then Reuven decides, you know what, let's give it another try. We'll say that is aser midaraisa. You are not allowed to do that. That's called machzir grushas. Meaning you could, if you divorce a woman, you could remarry her as long as she has not subsequently married someone else in the interim. So maybe, what happens, however, if a man does it? So perhaps, again, when he remarries her and has relations with her, perhaps that should passel her. Perhaps that should make her apostle. And I will say, obviously, that psul is not going to be vis-a-vis marrying into the kahuna, because that already, she already came married, she's a grush, she came married into the kahuna. The psul over here would be for what? Would be for truma consumption. If she's a bas kohen, perhaps that bias isser, that prohibited bias should prohibit her from eating from the truma, to which the Gemara says, no, the ish zar amarachmana. The only prohibition is to a strange man. Mi shazar etzla meikara. It refers to someone with whom she had no pre-existing relationship. La'afuki hai delo zar etzla meikara. It comes to exclude this individual, meaning the previous husband, with whom she has, so meaning, in other words, the Gemara is saying is ish zar means it has to be someone, the only person who can pass on the woman is someone who did not have a pre-existing relationship with her. But this man, because he was once married to her before, therefore cannot render her apostle. Ihach, if that's the case, cholol delav zarhu meikara lo lifsal. If that's the case, they both say, let's say a woman marries a cholol. Now, is a woman permitted to marry a cholol? The answer is yes. Right? You can marry a cholol, meaning at the end of the day, a cholol, remember, a kohen marries a grusha, that child is called a cholol. Again, so that child's not a kohen, it has certain restrictions of kuna, but not a kohen. So that there's no restrictions on who that child could go ahead and marry. But interestingly enough, we know that what happens if a woman marries a chalal? Let's say a bas kohen marries a chalal. So the Gemara's assumption is that bia would prevent her, let's say in the event of death or divorce with no children, from going ahead and eating truma from her father's home. But I don't understand why is that. There's nothing wrong with this marriage, so maybe he should not be an ish zar. Amakra lo yichalal zaro ba'amav. Makish zaro. Therefore, the pasuk says he shall not profane his offspring within his nation. Makish zaro lo. The Torah equates his offspring with him. Mahu posel, just as he passels. Av zaro nami posel. So too, if his offspring goes ahead and passels as well. Okay. Ve'ima mishas havia. So maybe we should say that lemaisa. When does this woman become a psula? From the time of Kiddushin, Havia means Kiddushin, to which the Gemara says, no, Dumya, the Kohen Gadol ba'amona. This is comparable to the case of the Kohen Gadol with the Amona. Ma Kohen Gadol ba'amona bebiya, av hainami bebiya. Just as the Kohen Gadol only goes ahead and makes this woman into a chalala, the amana into a chalala, at the time of bia. So Rabbi say all of these psulim that occur as a result of marriage are only after the bia. Ve'ema adi'ika havia ubia. Perhaps again, fine. So now I understand that kiddushin by itself will not create this sister. But perhaps again, perhaps it's both kiddushin and bia. No, it's still comparable to the case of Kohen Gadol ba'amana. Ma Kohen Gadol ba'amana bebiya luchuda. Just like Kohen Gadol ba'amana, it's only the bia that invalidates her. Af hai nami bebiya luchuda. So too, in this case as well, it is the bia that ultimately prohibits. Rabbi Yossi says, Kol shezar, now remember, Rabbi Yossi espoused this principle in yesterday's daf, and Rabbi Yossi said, Kol shezar o posel, the kol she'in zar o posel ein o posel. Rabbi Yossi was of the opinion, any situation in which the zera, in which the offspring of an individual would passel, so therefore the individual passels as well. And any situation in which his offspring would not passel, he does not passel either. Sigmar says, "My ika bein tanakan biosi." So we'll say, again, all of these seem to be just the same way, of expressing the same basic ideas. So meaning, namely, that a man with whom she's not permitted to marry ultimately, again, if she has relations with him, he makes her pasul. And that has two ramifications. A, she can't marry into the kahuna. B, if she's a bas kohen, she may not go ahead and go back to her father's home. So the Gemara says, what is the practical difference between Rabbi Huda and the Tanakama? Excuse me, Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, my ben Tanakama, my ikka ben Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, mitzri sheni, the adomi sheni ikka ben Arab. So listen to this. You know what the nafkamina is? A mitzri sheni adomi sheni. Rabbi Yossi. Now, what's a mitzri sheni adomi sheni? A second generation Egyptian convert and a second generation Edomite convert. Now, both say, remember, both of those individuals are what? Both those individuals are Jews, but they're pasul, meaning they are not permitted to marry into the normative assembly. Yet what? Their children will be what? Dar Shlishi, third generation, who are permitted to come into the assembly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they both say, if you just judge based on the individual himself, both these individuals are pasul, and therefore will make the woman with whom they have bia pasul as well. But if you judge based on the offspring, the offspring of these individuals will be what? Will be ksherim. So according to Rabbi Yossi, who judges based on the offspring, these two situations, if a woman has bia with a mitzri sheni or a domi sheni, that should not make her pasul. On the other hand, if you don't judge by offspring, but you look at the individual, these individuals are psulim. And both of them learn from the paradigm. The paradigm, apparently, of this type of psul is the marriage of a kohen gadol to an almana. Tana kama savar ma kohen gadol ba almana shebi aso ba avera uposel av hai nami posel. So the Tana kama holds that just like when it comes to a kohen gadol with an almana, that the bia, shebi aso ba avera, the bia is prohibited. Uposel, and it invalidates, makes your posel. Af hai nami posel, so too in this case, again, Mr. Sheni Adomi Sheni would also posel the woman. Rabbi Yossi holds, ki kohen gadol, like the case of the kohen gadol who married an almana, ma kohen gadol shezara posel, just like the kohen gadol who when he has bia with this almana, the offspring will be posel. So uposel, af kol shezara posel uposel. So we'll say, again, both are learning it out from the paradigm of the Kohen Gadol. But the Tanakhama will say that just as the Kohen Gadol, the union is prohibited, therefore the Bia makes her pasul. So therefore, again, we don't look at the offspring, we look at the individual himself. Rabbi Yossi says, no, just like the Kohen Gadol, his union with a prohibited woman will go ahead and produce pasul offspring. So too, the only situation that would make a woman asura is when the union could produce potentially prohibited offspring. So the Marzala Afuki Mitzri Sheni, this would come to exclude the case of Mitzri Sheni, De'ein zar'o pasul, whose offspring is not pasul. And I will say, it's an interesting case. Now, the chsiv, because by the time you get to the third generation, we know that lamaisa, again, the offspring is permitted. Fine. So we'll say, what comes out from that sugya, just to, it's important sometimes just try to remember certain points. So essentially what's come out from here is like this, that any situation in which a woman would engage in relations with a man within an illegal relationship, so that illegal relationship would go ahead and have two ramifications on her. It would prevent her from going ahead and A, marrying into the kuna in the future, and B, if she is a bas kohen, it would prevent her from going back to her father's house and consuming truma. The other factor that has an implication on her truma consumption status is a child. Because let's say, again, a bas kohen went ahead and married a Yisrael. So what is the halacha? Let's say now the Yisrael dies. If the Yisrael dies with no offspring, then what? Then the halacha is she goes back to her father, someone could eat the truma. If the Yisrael dies and they had a child together, the existence of that child, that Yisrael child, tethers her to her Yisrael marriage and what? Precludes her from eating truma. Conversely, if a bas Yisrael marries a kohen, same thing. No children, she can no longer eat truma. If she was left with a child, the existence of that child tethers. Remember, essentially, the kohal is the child tethers you to your marriage. So the existence tethers her to the kohanic marriage, which means that what? She would be permitted to go ahead and continue to eat truma. So says the Mishnah. No, I'm sorry. We're not up to Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol she'atanose bito atanose almanusa. Sorry, that review was a little premature. So Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, I thought we're up to the Mishnah. Sorry. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I mean, it's still correct. Just we'll incorporate something else. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Kol she'atanose bito atanose almanusa. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, No. Here is the the formula. Anyone whom you can marry their daughter, you can also marry their widow. So meaning in terms of trying to figure out what is a permitted marriage, so any person with whom you can marry his daughter, you could also marry his widow. So Gemara says, "My ikabe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon." And Rabbi say again, the Gemara asks the same question. Essentially, all these people seem to be saying the same thing, but yet they're just expressing it different ways. So why? So the Gemara says, "Amr ula ger amoni uma avi ikabenahu." Here's the difference with a ger amoni and a ger moavi. Now Rabbi say, now what does that mean? Ushne. So Rabbi say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Ger amoni. Who ubeno ben beno atzofa olam poslin aval bito kshira. So we'll say, here's the interesting ramification. Remember, again, as opposed to the Mitzri and the Adomi, who are permitted to enter into the normative assembly of the Jewish people in the third generation, so an Ammonite and a Moabite ger are forever prohibited. And then we say prohibited again, they could convert, they could become Jewish, but they may not marry into just anyone they want to. They are limited in terms of their marital options. So the Gemara says over here that perhaps the nafkamitim Shem Gamil and Tanakama is Ger Amoni or Moavi. Now, we'll say, now here, bless you. Here's the interesting point. Remember, this only applies to who? Male members of Moab and Ammon. But it does not apply to females. Remember, again, we actually spoke about this, not in this Masechta, I don't remember which Masechta, but we spoke about this because, remember, the Torah says, why isn't Ammon and Moab permitted to convert? Because they did not go ahead and greet you with bread and water when we were leaving Egypt. And the Gemara darshins, in biblical times, it would not have been the women who came out to greet a strange nation with bread and water. It would have only been the men. Therefore, the restriction is only on the men and not on the women. So why was it? Listen to this. So therefore, you could have, let's say, a Moabite man gets married, converts, marries a nice Hamisha Moabite convert, female, right? And what happens? They have a daughter. What's the status of that daughter? Full-fledged Jewess. Who could she marry? Anyone she wants. Well, we know that was a trick question, because remember we had a discussion about the daughter of Gerim. Is she permitted to marry a Kohen or not? Remember, again, we saw the Shulchan Aruch said l'chatchila, really, we do not allow that type of marriage. If it happened, we don't dissolve the marriage. But l'maisa, again, but for our purposes, she can marry anyone she wants. So we'll say, listen to this. See, if you define the ability of a man to go and apostle a woman based on what would be the product of their union. So let's say a woman has relations with a Moabite man. Now again, that is prohibited, right? Let's say a regular Jewish woman, a Bas Kohen, marries a Moabite man. That is prohibited. Yet again, if they were to have a daughter, that daughter would be permitted. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says that any situation in which the offspring is kosher, that type of situation will not what? Will not go, meaning any situation, he phrases it as, any situation you can marry is the daughter, so again, you can marry the widow, which is another way of saying that if the child of that union is kosher, that union would not passel the woman. So the Gemara says, here's the nafkamina. The nafkamina is a case of Ger Amoni, Ger Moavi, Ushneim Lom Dua Elam Mikoyin Gadol, and both of them, meaning, so, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shem Gamliel, would both go ahead and learn out from Kohen Gadol, in the case of Kohen Gadol Ba'amana. Rabbi Yossi holds, Ma Kohen Gadol Ba'amana Shazara Posel. Rabbi Yossi holds that just like by Kohen Gadol, who marries an Amana, just as the offspring from that union is Posel, so too, again, it's that type of union that would produce Posel offspring that goes ahead and Posels the woman. Af Kol Shazara Posel. Any union that produces prohibited or Posel offspring will Posel the woman. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Ma Kohen Gadol Ba'amana Shkol Zara Posel Posel. Oh, here's the difference. Both in the case of the Kohen Gadol marries the Amana, so every single child they have, male, female, doesn't make a difference. Every single child will be posel. That's the type of union that posels a woman, a union in which every type of offspring will be posel. La fuke Amoni Uma'avi, the Ain Kozar apostle. Because the Bosse comes to exclude the case of Amoni Uma'avi. Why? Because not all of the offspring is puzzle. What do you mean not all of the offspring is puzzle? It'll only be what? It'll only be male offspring who will be puzzle, but female offspring will be not. Shinet Damar Mar, Amoni Velo Amonis, Mo'avi Velo Mo'avis. Because again, we learned that the prohibition of Amon and Mo'av only applies to the males, does not apply to the females. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi, interesting enough, according to Shimon Gamliel, you have this interesting exception. So according to him, if you had a situation where a woman had relations or a marriage with a man with whom she is prohibited, but that union would not definitively produce prohibited offspring, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, such a union would not make a woman pasul, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, such a union would. Okay, says the Mishnah, Ha'ones v'hamifata v'hashota lo poslin v'lo ma'achilin. So I'll say, if a woman was violated by a man, or she was seduced by a man, this is, let's say, a case of a bas kohen. So in a case of a bas kohen, she was violated, she was seduced, or for that matter, she had relations, or she had married. She married a shota, an individual who's insane. So we'll say, in all of these cases, lo poslin, these individuals will not passel her, meaning will not prevent her from going back to her father's home and eating truma, v'lo ma'achilin, but nor will they entitle her to eat, and we'll see exactly what that means. Again, we're going to read the Mishnah, although the Gemara is really going to define it for us. Then einon ru'uyin laval b'kal. So we'll say, again, so this is also a very important halacha, because in the case of onis mefata, there's a certain level of extenuating circumstances. Shota, such a marriage like that, as we saw already in our previous sugya, is considered to be halachically irrelevant. So therefore, l'mayin, so again, she would be permitted to go and continue to eat truma within her father's home. However, again, if the man, let's say, either described in these cases or in other cases, is not fit to come into the assembly of God. For example, a mamzer, right? Hare elu poslin. Then ultimately, bia with such an individual would in fact go ahead and passel her. Ketzad, what's an example of this? Haya Yisrael Sheba Bas Kohen. If Yisrael had relations with a Bas Kohen, Rashi says, Hari Yisrael Sheba Bas Kohen, Ba'onis Opitui, Shol L'Shem Kiddushin. So let's say a regular Yisrael either violates or seduces a Bas Kohen. What is the halacha? She is permitted to continue to eat Truma. Amud Beis. However, Ibra, let's say she became pregnant from this encounter. So what is the halacha? Lo tocha b'truma. She cannot go ahead and she cannot eat truma. And I will say again, remember, that we know already. Remember, she already can't eat truma from the time that she's pregnant. That already we spoke about 2 days ago. Nechtach ha'ubra b'me'eha. And I will say, this nechtach ha'ubra b'me'eha literally means the ubra was cut up in her womb, which is another way of saying she has miscarried, but has not yet expelled the fetus. So she knows she's miscarried, but has not yet expelled the fetus. So tochal, she's permitted to eat. So they also, this is actually very interesting, because what we will see later on is that lemaisa, it is only the presence of a viable fetus that would prevent her from going ahead and eating truma. But once it is clear that the fetus is not viable, then lemaisa, again, she's permitted to eat truma. Haya kohen sheba bas Yisrael. Similarly, again, if it was a kohen who had relations with the bas Yisrael, and you're going to say same thing, either through ones, upitui, seduction, or violation, lo tocha betruma, she's not permitted to eat truma, meaning so it's not just bia with a coin does not entitle you to eat truma. However, ibra lo tocha betruma. But interestingly enough, if she went ahead and she became pregnant, she also can't eat truma, because again, we'll say that already we established before. It's not pregnancy. It's not a kohanic pregnancy that entitles you to eat truma. What is it? It's kohanic offspring. Therefore, yalda tochal. Once she gives birth, she's permitted to go and eat truma. And we'll say the Gemara says nimsa. Kocho shel ben gadol mikoach shel av. Gadol mishel av. So this is interesting. So therefore, it turns out that this is a case where the koach of the ben, the koach of the son, is greater than the koach of the father. Why? Because the bia with the father does not entitle her to eat truma. But yet, the son, the child, the product of that union, does entitle her to eat truma. Ha'eved posel mishum bia, ve'ina posel mishum zera. So an eved goes ahead and passels a woman because of bia, meaning again, Rashi says, "Ha'eved posel mishum bia in ba'ak ohenes pasla min ha'truma kidamino b'gemar le'el." If an eved has relations with a woman, he will prevent her from eating truma. However, "Eino posel mishum zera," Rashi says, "Eino posel mishum zera im yesh la zera lebas kohen mi yisrael kasher shehu eved." Umeis baila Yisrael v'nishar ze lo ne'emar hari zera yesh la miYisrael v'lo tashov l'trumas aviha de eved vaday lav zero. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so the zera will go ahead, the eved will go ahead. Well, the Gemara is going to define exactly what this case is, but the Gemara says lemaisa, if she has a zera from a Yisrael kosher that is an eved. Now, we'll, again, the Gemara is going to discuss this case. So, when he dies, the fact that that child is left in existence does not preclude her from eating truma. Again, like I said, we're going to see in the Gemara what the case is. So, the Gemara says ketzad. What is it? Bas Yisrael a kohen or bas kohen the Yisrael. If you have a bas Yisrael who married a kohen or a bas kohen who married a Yisrael. And she had a child with him. And what happens? The son went ahead and he violated a shifcha. And what happens? Now, again, Lamaisa, they had a son. So remember, I will say, so here's the case. The Bas Yisrael marries the Kohen, or the Bas Kohen marries the Yisrael. They have a son. Son violates the Shifcha and has a child with the Shifcha. So the Gemara, the Halach, the Mishnah says, Harei ze Eved. So ultimately, again, of course, we know that child is an Eved, because the offspring of a Shifcha is a Shifcha, or is an Eved. Haisa Eim Aviv Bas Yisrael. Excuse me. Haisa Eim Aviv Bas Yisrael, the Kohen. So ultimately, again, if his mother's father, Im Aviv, if his mother's father was a Bas Yisrael who married a Kohen, Lo Solcha B'Truma. In other words, what this is saying is, if, let's say, remember, as we said before, it is the existence of Kohanic offspring that goes ahead and establishes your ability to eat Truma. So as you're going to see in the Gemara, this is a long way of saying what? That Lamaisa, let's say again, you have technically Kohanic offspring. Because let's say again, you have a Bas Yisrael who married a Kohen, then they had a son. That son had relations with the Shifcha, produced a child. So the existence of that child would not allow the grandmother of that child to continue to eat truma once, let's say, her son and her husband die. Why? Because that child is considered an eved or a shivcha, is not considered to be kohanic zera. Bas kohen liyisrael to'ocho b'truma. Bas kohen marries the Yisrael. Excuse me. Bas kohen liyisrael to'ocho truma. Mamzer posel u'machil. A mamzer, however, has the ability to invalidate a woman, but yet he also has the ability to enable someone to go ahead and eat truma. And I will say, now, what's the case over here? What's the case here? It's very interesting. Ketzad, Bas Yisrael HaKohen, O Bas Kohen Yisrael. Let's say you have a case of a Bas Yisrael married a Kohen, or a Bas Kohen married Yisrael. V'yaldem et Bas, and they had a daughter. V'halcha HaBas, v'niseis le'eved o le'oved kochavim. And what happens? The daughter married a non-Jew, either an Eved or an Akum. V'yaldem et Ben, and they had a son. Hare Zemamzer. Now, both said this is very dramatic because the Mishnah is saying that the product of a union with a non-Jewish person is a mamzer. Now, we're going to challenge that assertion, but let's go with it for now in the Mishnah. Therefore, Haisa Eim Imo Bas Yisrael Kohen Tocha B'Truma. Now, both said, now, the interesting part about that is what? Is that, let's play this out. Let's say a woman, a Bas Yisrael, marries a Kohen. They have a daughter. That daughter goes ahead and what? That daughter goes ahead and marries a non-Jew, an Akum. They have a child. The Mishnah is now saying that child is a mamzer. So both say, let's say now, the original Kohen husband dies. Let's say the daughter dies. So the only two surviving members of the family are who? Is the Baba, is the grandmother, the grandmother of the original Bas Yisrael, and who? And the mamzer kid, the mamzer grandchild. So the Mishnah now says that it is the existence of the mamzer grandchild that what? That allows the grandmother to continue to eat truma. So in other words, that mamzer grandchild still is considered to be the direct, a direct Kohanic offspring, and therefore enables her to go in. So it's interesting. So a mamzer himself could invalidate the woman from going ahead and eating truma, but yet it is the existence of the mamzer that could still allow the Kohanic or the Yisrael grandmother to still continue to go ahead and eat truma. And I will say that's true. Remember, if she's a Yisrael, Bas Yisrael will continue to eat truma, or what? If she's a Bas Kohen, it would continue her to what? Allow her to what? Go back ultimately again to her father's home. So we'll see again. I'm reading these quickly because the Gemara is going to go through each of these cases one by one. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Kohen Gadol, Pamim Shu Posel. So the Kohen Gadol, there are some times, that is actually interesting, there are some times that a man could be a Kohen Gadol, but yet he could prevent his grandmother from eating Truma. What's the case? Ketzad, Bas Kohen Yisrael. If a Bas Kohen married a Yisrael, V'yaldeh Menabas, and they had a daughter. So Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael, they had a daughter. V'halcha Bas, V'niseis LeKohen. The daughter marries a Kohen. V'yaldeh Menaben. And what happens? They have a son. Harei Zerah Elios Kohen Gadol. Omeidu M'shamesh HaKabi HaMizbeach Machile. So what happens? So now what? The Kohen Gadol. So now they have a son. And that son goes ahead and what? Becomes the Kohen Gadol, right? He's able to do the Kohen Gadol. He serves on the Mizbeach. U'ma'achil es imo. U'posel es im imo. So we'll say he will allow his mother to continue to eat truma. But what? He will preclude his grandmother from doing so. And again, we will see why Rashi says, U'posel es im imo. Afilu la'achar misas imo. Di'i lav hu Hava hadra im imo l'truma de beinasha la'achar misas bita kedar b'yesh musaros meis bena misas. So we will see Rava say that the existence of this grandson will preclude his grandmother from continuing to eat truma. Zos ameres, this teaches us lo kibni koin gadol shupo slayim bina truma. Was that sometimes a woman will say, I don't have much nachas from the fact that my grandson is a kohen gadol. Right? So in other words, that there are sometimes where it's very beautiful if my grandson is the kohen gadol, but he could also, because of his position, preclude me from eating truma. That's no longer a source of nachas for the grandmother. So the Gemara says the following, Tanina hatan rabbanan, shote v'katan shenasu nashim umesu. It will say, if you have a shote or a katan who married women and then died, nishoseyan peturos mina chalitza mina yibum. Women like that are exempt from chalitza and yibum. Why? Because marriage with a shote is absolutely halachically irrelevant. Keitzad, hayu yisrael shebala bas koin tocha b'truma. If he had a Yisrael, had relations with the Bas Koin, he violated her, seduced her, so she is tocha b'truma. Ibra, I'm sorry, just the opposite. A Yisrael who violated a Bas Kohen or seduced her, she could continue to eat Truma from her father's home. However, Ibra la tocha, but once she becomes pregnant, she may not eat. It says the Gemara, Kivan de Ibra la sochal. Is that true? Once she becomes pregnant, she can't eat. Lecho shema Ibra. Right? So here's what's interesting. The Gemara makes it sound like that it's only once you know that she's pregnant that she can't eat from her father's Truma. So it sounds like what? Let's say you only find out 3 months later that she's actually pregnant. So for that entire time until we know she's pregnant, she's eating truma. Rashi says, why is that? Why don't you assume? Why don't we choshesh that maybe once she has relations with this man, why don't you choshesh that what? Maybe she's pregnant and therefore already from now prevent her from eating truma in her father's home. To which the Gemara says, Milo Tnan. Did we not learn Mafrishin Osan Gimel Chadashim Shema Meubaros? In Abbas, we had this case earlier that if you had two couples who were getting married and the husband got confused about who married who, and it turns out each spent the wedding night with the other one's wife, what? Blame it on the caterer, right? So what happens? Now, again, so what's the halacha? The halacha is we force them to separate for their wives for 3 months to be able to ascertain if those women are pregnant from the other men. So you see over here, that's what? You see over here from what? That we are choshesh for pregnancy immediately. If that's the case, then in a situation where Yisrael violates or seduces a Bas Kohen, we should preclude her from eating truma now. Alts the possibility that she's already pregnant, to which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why, what the difference for that is. So the Gemara says, for yichus purposes, for paternity purposes, we're a choshesh that a woman became pregnant right now. But for truma consumption purposes, we don't assume that a woman is pregnant until when? Until we know with absolute certainty that in fact she is. Is that true? That for truma purposes, we're not choshesh that maybe she's pregnant right now. But how we learn? If a man says to his wife, this is your get 1 moment before I die. I will say, so again, a man would want to give this get. Why would a man want to do this? A man would want to do this if, let's say, he doesn't have children and he doesn't want his wife to have to do yibum with his brother. So what can you do? You could retroactively trigger, after you die, you could retroactively trigger a get that takes place 1 moment before you die. And again, it's a yibum loophole. And it can also be a tax shelter. You can employ this for, this doesn't have to imply animosity. A husband might want to do this to shield his wife from a whole variety of realities that could result after his death. Maybe he doesn't want her to be liable for certain chobos that he has. Whatever it is. So he says, so we'll say, interestingly enough, she's not permitted to eat truma immediately. Why? Why? Because Rabbi Sai, there's the possibility that he could drop dead at any moment. Because he could drop dead at any moment, then what? It could turn out that this retroactively will be the moment that she's divorced. If retroactively she's divorced now, then what? Then she's not permitted to eat truma. See over here, that's what? You see over here that we're choshesh for certain realities immediately. So too, if a Bas Kohen is violated by Yisrael, we should be choshesh that what? That she's pregnant right now. Ela amar barafuna binisun chashashu. Bizinus lo chashashu. You're right, but Rabbi Rafuna says in Nisun, in the context of a marriage, we are choshesh ultimately again that a woman may be pregnant immediately, but in Znus we are not choshesh. Rabbi says that also, as Durashi points out, that we learned that there are certain ways that after relations, a woman could diminish the probability of becoming pregnant. So the assumption is if a woman is violated or a woman is seduced and realizes afterwards, you know, the enormity of what, or during, the enormity of what has occurred, so she'll do what she can to diminish the probability of pregnancy. So therefore, again, we don't assume that she's pregnant until we know for sure that she's pregnant, as opposed to in marriage, where we could assume immediately after bia the potential that she's already pregnant. So the Gemara says, Benisumi Chashashu, is that true that in Isura we are Choshesh for immediate pregnancy? I Vahatanon, we learn, Bas Kohen Shenisis the Yisrael Umeis. So Bas Kohen was married to Yisrael and died. Toveles Vaocheles Betruma La'erev. So we'll say, what happens? If a Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael and he dies, she needs to go to the mikvah. She goes to the mikvah to purify herself if they had relations. And then what? She eats Truma that night. Or in other words, what do you see from here? That we are not Kosheish, that she's pregnant. Because remember, again, if a Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael, the existence of a Yisrael pregnancy would what, as we said before, preclude her from eating Truma. So we see from here that we're not Kosheish of pregnancy, even in the context of marriage. Rav Chista, Toveles Va'ocheles Ad Arboim Yom. No, no, no. What we say is that we allow her to go to the mikvah, and she could eat for the first 40 days after death of her husband. Di'i lo ma'abra, halo ma'abra. Because again, if there was no pregnancy within 40 days, l'maisa, we know she's not pregnant. Vi'i ma'abra, and Abba said, even if it turns out she was pregnant, then what? It's not like that was an illegal consumption of truma. Why? Because halachically, pregnancy for the first 40 days, it's considered to be not viable life. Which Abba said is very interesting, because l'maisa, just very quickly, that's why again, in there are certain tests for genetic diseases that can be performed within the first 40 days. I believe like for Tay-Sachs, right? Which is why halach lemaisa, it is very important halachically to go ahead and have some of those tests performed in the first 40 days, because lemaisa there are heterim to abort pregnancies within the first 40 days if it's clear that there is a fatal genetic illness. Because lemaisa again, pregnancy during the first 40 days is maya ba'alma, the Gemara calls it, just water. So therefore, we let her eat truma immediately, because even if it turns out that she was pregnant for the first 40 days, that's not really called the real halachic pregnancy, and therefore she was not consuming truma illegally. If that's the case, look at the end that says, but yet the end says that if it turns out that she's pregnant and she was consuming truma, retroactively she's committed a sin. What does mean mikul kelas? Adar boim. Ultimately, again, that will only be back until the 40th day. In other words, Rabbi Osai, that the only problem comes up if what? If she continued to eat truma after day 40. So, if she continued to eat truma after day 40, then it turns out that what? That she has illegally consumed truma. But any truma consumed before day 40 ultimately will not be halachically problematic, even if it turns out that she was pregnant. All right, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop over here. Emirat Hashem, Yaakov Moshe is giving the Daf Yomi tomorrow, so we'll go to a regular Shabbos schedule of 8:15. Emirat Hashem tomorrow morning. Hopefully, we'll go back to the other schedule later, but Shukoyach.